Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two, that's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Yeah, writers got to be vigilant these days, man.
Yeah, pretty stunning.
It's had that happen a couple of times.
Yeah.
Like I said, send that to me. We're having a little bit of a, not we, James and I, a mutual friend is having a little bit of an AI problem.
Yeah.
Send it legit. I know people there who are working on that very thing.
Oh, yeah.
So let me know.
I mean, it's pretty clear.
Yeah. It's not, everybody knows it.
And maybe it was
They're just trying to hammer down where it's coming from and who it is so they can eradicate it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Salute to the, I don't want to throw people under the bus. Salute to whoever it is we're talking about. Anyways.
Yeah.
You want to get to six quick thoughts? Get back into the Kings?
Okay.
All right. Kings, 129, or lost last night, 130 to 129 to the Nuggets. And here's James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
How'd yesterday's Kings game go?
Not great.
Insider James Hamm has six notes you need to know. Here are James Hamm's six quick thoughts.
Oh, yeah. James Hamm, six quick thoughts. Number one.
That first quarter is totally unacceptable. Watching a team just look disengaged and overmatched. Like, the problem is that when you put up 47 points in the second quarter, you show that you could actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so to go down 20 in the first quarter, I think they trailed by as many as 23. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just, you should not have your home crowd booing in the first quarter.
That's tough.
It is tough. Well, yeah, but people are paying premium dollar to go to a game.
I'm not blaming anybody who booed last night. Go for it.
I agree.
It was a tough look for the Kings that they played to the level that people in Sacramento.
Yeah.
People in Sacramento, but this is not New York. This is not Philly. You get booed in Sac?
Yeah.
You got to do, and I thought it was warranted last night.
Oh, no.
I don't blame anyone that threw a boo on the court last night.
Oh, no, I fully agree. Totally warranted. And then to see them turn it around and be so good in the second quarter with the same group. I mean,
yeah, okay,
Keon Ellis played
the whole
quarter, but and Colby Jones played in that quarter a bunch of minutes too, but that just...
The coming out flat in games is now a season-plus-long trend.
Yeah.
They do that way too often.
Like, you know you got a game that night.
And it's good teams, it's bad teams.
They hadn't played since, what, Thursday?
Must-win games.
They have 4 days off to get ready for that game.
And back-to-backs.
The last time they had a bunch of days off, the same thing. You come out, you're like, oh, we're just flat. Sorry about that.
It doesn't make any sense to me, man.
Yeah, really.
But you're right. Unacceptable is the right word. Number two.
Sabonis was a star.
Yeah, he was.
I know there was an article by Baxter Holmes that came out yesterday about Sabonis and his dad, and Michael Malone even had a smart ass comment at the end of his pregame yesterday about Sabonis being the most, I think, the best passing big man in the game, and then he smacked the table. He was basically quoting the article, and he thinks he has the best passing big man in the game, but. Like, Jokic wanted none of that smoke.
Yeah.
And I thought Sabonis was spectacular. And to see him lose a game where he gritted through and fought through and, had a horrific fall,
mm-hmm,
and still play that well and put up 28 points and 14 rebounds and 6 assists. Like, you know.
Yeah, he was really good last night.
We can't get desensitized to how good Domantas Sabonis is.
Yeah, I loved the... love the aggressiveness going to the basket because Jokic is a player. He's not, and there might be metrics that disagree with this, but this is where I view Jokic defensively. He's in the Steph Curry realm where not like a god awful defender, but you can take advantage of him defensively in the right matchups.
You're not
worried about him defensively necessarily.
The advanced statistics say he's actually a really good defender, but it's because of the defense and how he's surrounded and how they protect him.
That's kind of right. That's what, when you watch, that's kind of what I've gotten.
Yeah.
And it was just really clear last night that anytime Sabonis wanted to get in the lane and put his shoulder down and get to the basket, he could.
Yep.
And I love that he took 20 shots. He could have taken 25.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was outstanding last night.
I thought so,
really,
too.
Really, really good. Number three.
Malik Monk brought the fire in the third. Like, he had 15 points in third quarter, finished with 26, with 6 rebounds, 9 assists, and 3 blocks. Like, look, the Malik Monk in the starting lineup thing is so fun to watch.
Yeah.
Like, at least they're fun to watch at this point. I know people are frustrated, but man, like, going for, like, 120-something every night, 129, 130, 140... Like, this is, it's probably who they have to be, but if they're not going to get stops in crunch time, then it doesn't matter how many points they score.
Correct.
And that's always going to be Mike Brown's point, but last night was on full display. You put up 129 and lost by 1.
Brutal.
You put up 125 earlier, like 2 weeks ago, and lost 125 to 127.
Mm.
If you're not going to play defense, if you cannot get stops when it counts, you're going to lose.
That's it. You don't need to be elite defensively.
Nope.
You need to be able to come up with, instead of the Nuggets going 7-for-7 down the stretch, mm-hmm. can you make them go 5-for-7?
Yeah.
Still not great, but it's a little better. The thing with Malik, there's two things that really, really stuck out to me last night. One, the arena just pops different when he does something. When he hits the go-ahead three,
oh yeah,
it's louder than when anybody else does it.
Of course.
And that's something that jumps out to me. Number two, he aesthetically is one of my like three favorite players in the league to watch.
Oh yeah.
Steph is obviously up there. I really like watching Shea Gilgeous-Alexander play basketball. He is aesthetically one of my favorite players to watch. And Malik's there too, man. Just the way he moves around the court, the control that he's out of control sometimes,
mm-hmm.
but when he's under control, like he was last night, it just a really, really freaking good player. And I enjoy the way he goes about his business.
What I love about him is that he is, you want to look at him as a score first guard,
mm-hmm.
and he's really not.
No.
And so the whole time you're waiting for this score first guy to like just blow up and take over. Mm-hmm. But when he does it, it's always at the right time, and it always feels meaningful. Mm-hmm. And there are nights where he can't shoot a shot, right? He's not hitting the ball. He's not hitting. But he always brings something else.
Finished with, I have him down here for 10 assists last night.
Oh, did they bump it up to 10 assists?
Yeah, 25 and 10.
Yeah, they keep doing stuff like that. Oh, they did. They gave him a, oh no, I'm looking at Westbrook. I'm looking at the official game box, and they did. They gave him an extra assist after the game.
Yeah, but just the way, like you said, he'll run that two-man game with Sabonis, where instead of just turning the corner, putting his head down and throwing up a wild shot,
mm-hmm.
yeah, it's a quick little no-look dish, Sabonis, open 15-footer, cash. Like, it's just a really, really fun style of basketball to watch. He's just a hooper.
Yeah,
that's it.
When the Kings were looking at him as a potential addition, mm-hmm. it was very clear that, you know, they were looking at him, A, because he was, like, they thought they could make him into an elite six man,
mm-hmm.
B, because of his ties to De'Aaron Fox. But the other thing that they said was that the advanced metrics on him, he was by far the best pick and roll guard in the NBA,
mm-hmm.
and he has been the best pick and roll guard in the NBA, and that's why they brought in JaVale McGee, because JaVale McGee, by the numbers, was the best pick and roll big man in the NBA.
Yeah.
Even in the year before the Kings picked him up, even that year, limited role and the yeah. whole thing that happened with the Mavericks and all that stuff, still the best pick and roll big man percentage wise in the yeah. NBA.
Number four.
Fox found the turbo button. There was a point in the game where he started changing speed,
mm-hmm.
and it was like, please just do that. The whole, like, oh my gosh. He started to do the float thing where he's just so good and he's so mm-hmm. much better than everyone else on the court. And you just want to show him those clips where it's like, do you see how good you are?
Mm-hmm.
So he finished with 29 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. But I wanted more of it. And that was a game where he easily could have had 35. And I know you didn't need it because you had everybody kind of mm-hmm. contributing. But at the same time, you needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I hope that he sees what, like, others see in him in those moments where, like, there's no one that can stop you.
Yeah, 11 of 24 overall is fine. 8 shots in the first half, like you said. Would just like to give me a couple more. That's all.
I mean, he finished with 24 shot attempts. That's a lot. But again, there was 102 shot attempts by the Kings and 102 shot attempts by the Nuggets. Like, that, the pace of that game was crazy.
It was insane.
It was crazy.
Totally insane.
Yep.
Yeah, Fox, a good player, though, man. Just quietly, just 29-7-5.
Yep.
The fact that he's so good that we go 29-7-5 and God, felt like good at 35.
Come on, man.
Hell of a player. Number five.
Number five, McDermott was overmatched defensively early on, but I thought he fought. He's just overmatched. There's nothing you can do when
there's a reason Doug McDermott shouldn't be playing. How many minutes to get 27 minutes? There's a reason Doug McDermott probably shouldn't be playing 27 minutes.
No, but I do think there is a role for him on this team, especially.
I don't disagree.
As they go through this segment of the season where they're really having problems with bench scoring.
Sure.
I don't love him as a starter, but to be honest with you, I don't think Mike Brown had a lot of options. He was trying to space the floor. I get what he was trying to do.
No doubt.
It probably would have worked better to start Jay Crowder and bring Doug McDermott off the bench so he's playing against second team guys, not first team guys. But then he found a shooting stroke. He was 4-7 from three, 16 points. There was a point where he was tied for the team's lead in scoring. He just started hitting some shots. He got to the basket once and then hit a couple of threes. And like, look, I think there is a role for Doug McDermott on this team. I would like to see more Doug McDermott, you know, in like 15 to 18 minutes a game.
Yeah, that's fine. 27 is too many.
No, it's too many, but that's because you're missing Keegan Murray.
Sure. Number six.
I thought Keon Ellis put his best foot forward. Yep. Mike Brown was very clear on Sunday at practice that he's waiting for someone to step up. If someone wants to step up and take the role and be the guy that can take some of the scoring load with Kevin Huerter out, if someone wants to do it, that's fine. He's willing to give somebody an opportunity, but guys have to go out there and take responsibility in the right way. I thought he was disruptive. He was 3 of 6 from the field, scored 12 points, got to the free throw line, I think, 5 times because he kept on the fast break. He kept, like, going at them.
Yep.
6 rebounds, and he had 5 blocks. So there was a point where he was a plus 20, and then the game unfolded, like, late. But, yeah, he definitely, for me, I thought he was very impressive and had a very, very good game and said, hey, look, play me. Play me more.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I think when he plays like he did last night, it's really, really hard to make a case against not playing him.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
And we talked about this earlier. I know he's going to make his mistakes, and there's going to be times where he's being over-aggressive trying to get steals, and it gets players out of position, which is something the Kings can't really do given their personnel. But when he does what he did last night, and the 1 for 5 from 3, whatever, as long as he's taking them, he's hit enough of them that I feel okay about him taking 5 shots from beyond the arc.
Me too, and he played 33 minutes last night.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Keon Ellis was very good.
Yeah. Do you think that we see Keon in the starting lineup if Keegan is out Thursday? Or do you think they go with Doug McDermott again?
Maybe. Who do they play on Thursday?
Lakers.
Lakers. I don't think you do a 3-guard set. Well, maybe. I mean, do you think you can survive with a 3-guard set against that team?
Probably not.
No, I think you see...
But also, ask me if I think they can survive with Doug McDermott starting.
No, I think you see Jay Crowder to match up against LeBron.
That makes sense.
Yeah, if you don't have...
That makes the most sense.
Yeah, if you don't have Keegan.
Okay. That's fine. Hopefully they have Keegan. That was weird.
Yeah.
Ankle soreness.
The ankle soreness. I don't know what happened there.
I have no idea.
I got to be honest. Like, it showed up late on, like, a midday injury report. And just so people know out there, like, the injury report, it shows up, like, every hour but on the half hour.
Yeah.
Like, so if you're not checking, like, specifically every hour on the half hour. So, like, yesterday I left the studio to drive home. While I was on the road at 12:30, a new injury report came out from the NBA, and on that injury report was Keegan Murray being questionable. I asked Mike Brown about it in pregame, and Mike Brown seemed to have he's like, I don't know what happened. He has a sore ankle. He asked media relations and they had no answer either to add to it. Just like, that's all we got for you. That was weird. I don't know what was happening. The vibe in the building was weird. Like, everything was weird. And, you know, like, sometimes you miss a game because you're just beat up. But the Kings just had 4 days off. And so I was just...
Right. And soreness. So would it... how do I ask this without throwing people under the bus? Are you concerned that it might be something more than like general soreness and there's like an injury there that they don't know what it is yet? So they just called it soreness for now?
I don't know. This was the first game he's missed this season.
Right.
The Kings, and like Mike was very clear to us that like the days off that they've had here and they've had practice every day, they're not having contact drills.
Sure.
Like they're running through play sets, they're shooting, they are doing cardio and all that stuff, but they are not going out there and hitting each other. So it just is a strange thing to see a guy on 4 days rest come out and not play.
And to, the soreness part of this is what's sticking in my craw. It just, he just walked up today and went, ankle hurts a little. Like, that's not what happens. Did he roll his ankle?
Yeah.
And it was hurt, and they don't know whether it's sprained yet or what grade of sprained it. I don't, just a very, very odd situation. And it, the thing it did last night was it put a spotlight under a microscope of the Kings wing issues.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, without Keegan Murray, you're so undersized against a team like that. That you have absolutely no opportunity to compete
against the team, against any team.
Yeah, against most teams in the NBA for sure.
Yeah.
But against that team specifically, yes. That starts a 6 foot, what, 7 6 foot eight, Aaron Gordon at the power forward, but like a tremendously strong, and a big time leaper, and then Michael Porter Jr., who's like 6'10" at the three.
Yeah,
like to go into a game with a 6 foot six. DeMar DeRozan and a 6 foot seven Doug McDermott. I don't know. Is Doug McDermott even 6 foot seven?
I think he's listed at 6'7".
Yeah. I'm going to have to look this at McDermott. No, McDermott's listed 6'6".
Oh boy.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's like that's tough when that's your matchup. And we're not talking about just two average Joes that, you know, may or may not be able to play basketball. We're talking about two forwards that started on a championship team like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Like, this is a good team. Yeah, they're good players. And it was going to be a matchup problem coming into the game no matter what because you only had one Keegan Murray and not two to defend the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And once you got into the game and that you didn't have Keegan, like, I thought, oh, this is going to be bad. I didn't think the Kings would be able to compete at all. And I saw the 41 to 21 first quarter and thought, this is probably going to be a 15 to 20 point blowout loss tonight, maybe even more.
Yeah. Yeah, man. They just, you just look down and this is very specifically talking about what we've talked about for 2.5 years now. It's the size and athleticism on the wings. And Keon Ellis coming off the bench, fine. Good player. Colby Jones coming off the bench playing 18 minutes, don't hate it. Isaac Jones coming off the bench playing 6 minutes, okay. But then you get to Jay Crowder at 5 minutes, and that's the first like Keegan Murray-ish player that you have. The only Keegan Murray-ish player you have.
Who's like 34 and was a free agent like 2 weeks ago.
Who you signed off the street.
Yeah. Like, look, I'm not going to question Keegan's toughness because Keegan plays every game he can, right? Yeah,
yes. I didn't mean to do that. If that's what it sounded like, my concern is that it's more than ankle soreness.
Yeah.
Because if his ankle was like, I don't know, it hurts a little, he's playing. Like, we know that.
I just found it really strange because, who played 80 games his rookie season, started 77 out of 82 games last year, and this was the first game this season he missed. So, yeah. I don't know what the deal was. I do know he was standing on the sidelines in street clothes, and again, it just like shines a glaring like spotlight on the problem with this roster that you do not have anyone. I mean, even Jalen McDaniels, you know, I would have like in this game, you would have had to go to him if you still had him.
I almost said he would have helped, but I don't know if that's true. He would have played.
Yeah, he would have played. Did you see on that Chris Duarte got sent to the G League yesterday?
I didn't.
Yeah.
Tough. Hate it for my guy.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
Sko Ducks. Obviously, when we talk about the Kings roster, that inevitably leads to the trade discussion. So we'll dive into that. We'll do that. We'll also go back over mad props.
Oh, yeah.
And Jesse's here. I got to go make sure Jesse can come in today.
Okay.
He's good? Yeah, Jesse's good. All right. Jesse's going to come in today. But before we do any of that, I want to remind you, I want to let you know that we're giving away tickets to Legoland California.
Oh.
Yeah. You can enjoy Elf Extravaganza at Legoland now through January 5th and up for grabs right now at ESPN1320.com. It's a family four-pack of tickets to Legoland California Resort. You enter online at the contest page at ESPN1320.com. Tis the season for fa-la-la-la Lego fun.
Oh, who wrote that one?
I hope it was Charlie. If Charlie wrote it, I love it. If anyone else did, I hate it. Tickets courtesy of Legoland California Resort. Win a couple of tickets to Legoland California now. ESPN1320.com. Hey, the Emirates NBA Cup final tonight. Bucks, Thunder. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a fun one.
Okay.
I think this is a sneaky, super important game. And not because of the Emirates NBA Cup, but because it feels like a chance for each of these teams to define what they want to be. And the Bucks have kind of bounced back. They had that really ugly start to the year, but now they've started playing really well. Obviously, they have reached the finals of the Emirates NBA Cup. The Milwaukee Bucks are currently the number 5 seed at 14-11. And they got off to a really, really poor start. If you remember, they started the season 4-9. It was ugly. 2-8 they were through 10 games. Now they're 14-11. But this is a chance where they go, yeah, hey, beat the top contender in the West, won the NBA in-season tournament. The Bucks have arrived. And same thing for the Thunder. They're this up-and-coming team. Well, they've not won anything yet. And not that the NBA Cup is going to go at the top of anybody's resume, but if you go into this tournament situation and you win this whole thing, I think the Thunder look more for real to me if they go out and win the whole thing. Just because you can go, yeah, look, they got in a tournament situation and they won a bunch of must-win games.
I think this is a really interesting matchup here. It's two teams that you could see, you know, like in the finals.
Yes.
Like this could be a finals preview, and I still think Boston's going to have a lot to say with it.
Yeah, Boston's going to the finals.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, most likely Boston's going, I mean, barring injuries or whatever, sure. But I still think that the Bucks are that team, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're the team that...
They're right there for sure.
Yeah, they could, you know, make a push, and they're a team that started off slow like the Kings have, but then found sort of their footing and have been tracking very well over the last like 3 or 4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
Like this should be a fun game.
Yeah. Can't wait. Emirates NBA Cup final tonight. Bucks against the Thunder. All right. We'll talk Kings trade. We'll have to go back to last Thursday for mad props.
Yep.
We'll do that with Jesse Tapia of D'Lo and Casey. That's coming up here in a minute on The Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader.
Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
A small amount of breaking news.
Oh.
The NBA has officially announced today that the 2025 NBA All-Star Game in the Bay Area has a new format. All-Star voting opens Thursday, December 19th. The fan voting portion begins December 19th at 7 a.m. Pacific time. Mm. Here's the new All-Star game format in the NBA. There will be 24 NBA All-Star selections divided evenly into 3 8-player teams.
Okay.
The fourth is the Castrol Rising Stars champion. So there will be the Rising Stars game. Mm-hmm. The winner of that game is the fourth All-Star team.
Now it's called the Castro.
Castrol.
Castrol.
Like Castrol
oil?
Yes.
Okay.
Honorary team general managers are Charles Barkley, Shaq, Kenny Smith, and Candace Parker.
Okay.
Barkley, O'Neal, and Smith will draft their team rosters from a pool of 24 NBA All-Star selections. Parker is the GM of the Rising Stars team. Two teams meet in one semifinal game, and the remaining two teams meet in the other semifinal game, and then the winning teams from game one and two advance to face each other in the championship game. The winner of each game is the first team to reach or surpass 40 points.
Hmm.
I am so in on this. I can't wait. This is going to be a blast.
Oh, yeah.
Because you have, A, the urgency of trying to get to 40 points. You're not going to see, I don't think, you're going to see a 40 points in 3 minutes. Like, it's not going to be like the All-Star game was. And because of the truncated time, because I saw some people, when they first floated this idea, I saw some people asking, well, what's the incentive still? They're still going to dog it. But no, the thing now is, when you're playing to 40, the time you're playing gets a lot shorter.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, we saw the Kings gave up 41 in the first quarter last night.
Right, in 12 minutes.
And the Nuggets, they gave up 47.
In 12 minutes.
In 12 minutes last night.
Right. So I think you're going to see teams trying harder. I think you're going to see teams, players trying harder. And players setting a tone early that, like, hey, we're trying to get to 40.
Mm-hmm.
And we're trying to stop you from getting to 40. That's the goal. Don't have to play 48 minutes. Don't have to play 30 minutes, whatever it is. You're going to go play hard to get to 40 points. And that's it. And then you add in the Rising Stars portion of this.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's going to want to lose to the Rising Stars team.
Oh, no.
A team with LeBron James and Kevin Durant and Jaylen Brown or whoever is not going to want to go lose to a bunch of dudes who are 20, 21 years old.
No.
Alper and Şengün and Amen Thompson and whoever. The Rockets.
the Rockets.
Nobody's going to want to lose to the Rockets.
Well, I don't think Şengün is eligible for the Rising Stars anymore.
Yeah, no, he's been, yeah. Three, I don't know why his name was the first one that came up.
It's okay.
Nobody's going to want to lose to Victor Wembanyama and the Rockets.
Yeah, unless he's an all-star, which...
Good point. He probably will be. But yeah, man, that's going to be fun, and I can't wait. I think the All-Star game is back. I'm declaring it right now.
Okay. I'm hoping so. They're also, there's a $1.8 million prize pool. The championship winning team will receive $125,000 each. Second place, $50,000. And third and fourth place, $25,000 each. That's a big incentive. That's in NBA players, despite the fact that they make lots of money, they are still motivated greatly by money.
Dude, let me tell you. I know that $100,000 is a drop in the bucket for LeBron James.
Mm-hmm.
Like, genuinely, that is a drop in the bucket.
Oh, yeah.
But on the other hand, let's say something is $50. Let's say there's a $50 prize in something. You're going to try a lot harder at that thing when it's like, dude, $50?
Oh, yeah.
$100? Whatever amount of money.
No,
the incentive changes a lot.
I think I spent $100 on Halloween costume just to win the $50 gift card.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what
See? You do. Yeah.
So I think the money plays. I think it is a factor. Despite the fact that these guys already make exorbitant amounts of money,
mm-hmm.
You want to go win that money. You win $100,000? Yeah. You're going to go put out a little effort.
Okay. I'm just surprised this is the Castrol Rising Stars, not the Sprite. I guess Sprite is no longer a thing. Sprite Rising Stars. It was like forever. It was the Sprite Rising Stars game.
Oh.
I don't know.
I have no idea. Couldn't tell you. But yeah, can't wait. That is the 2025 NBA All-Star game. That's the new format. And that is when the All-Star game is down in the Bay Area. Did the Kings game last night, before we get to Mad Props, did the Kings game last night move the needle for you at all in terms of, like, urgency for the Kings to make a deal?
I think so. I don't know. The Kings should have urgency the whole time. And I do think the Kings do have an urgency. They're the team that we've heard for the last 3 weeks that are trying to make a deal.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think it's possible they don't have, you know, something to sweeten the deal. yeah. to close one of these you know potential deals that are out there.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard plenty of conversations that have happened between like them and the Nets, you know, over the last maybe that was like a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, where it was like kind of hot and heavy. Mm-hmm. The Nets just made their first move, so you think that there's going to be some sort of like multiple moves coming. And so for me, like this team should be looking to make moves without mm-hmm. any question. But I also like, I think some people on the outside would be like, hey, we need to make sure that Kevin Huerter shoulder thing isn't a bigger deal. Or, hey, look, if we're talking sure. about Kevin Huerter and Trey Lyles, we need to make sure that calf injury isn't, mm-hmm. isn't a bigger deal,
man.
And so there's all of these question marks that you have, but I think last night just once again exposed the clear issue in roster construction that this team mm-hmm. has had for a couple of years now. And yeah. like you have to address the biggest situation. And if you can't, like, I guess maybe at some point just like, hey, look, what we have to offer is not good enough and teams are not accepting.
Mm-hmm.
So we've tried, but that's it. That's all we can do. You know, but I would also think
that's,
I mean, it's possible. Sorry.
That's tough to me.
Well, but like I went through and I was telling you before we got on the show, like the Kings don't have any second round picks to offer. Like if you're talking about like sweeteners for a deal.
Sure.
They've got like one access to one second round pick over the next 7 years. And that's because two of their picks at 26 and 27 are tied up in the Kevin Huerter trade. So if
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Because if they don't give out their first round pick in 2025 or 26, it becomes two second round picks, which is their 26 and 27 second round pick.
Mm.
And then you got like, I think they have their 2030 second round pick or their 2029 second round pick. That's all they have as far as those picks. Now, first round picks, they do have more. They have 27, 28, 29, 30, sure. 31. Yeah. 31 is a pick swap, and 27 right. has to have a disclaimer about whether or not, you know, you'll get that pick or the next year's pick. But like the cupboard is a little bare here.
That's a tough truth for me to handle. Because then what are we doing here?
Yeah.
Because the roster right now is not a championship roster.
No.
It may not even be a playoff roster. It's TBD. But it's really clear and has been for a couple of years they need these upgrades.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's a stretch four that can play next to Sabonis or another 6'7", 6'8", 3 and D wing, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Another couple of those guys. And if you just don't have the assets to go get one.
I mean, look.
They
tried. They had a lottery.
To me.
They had a lottery pick and they tried. They tried to move that pick like that all the way up until the point that they stepped up on the stage. Like. Everything I've heard is that they were very, very active. We did not think that they would select mm-hmm. in number 12.
Yeah.
But I also did not think that they would, like the Davion Mitchell year, like there was so much smoke that they were trading that pick
mm-hmm.
and then they weren't able to make a move. So like maybe you just can't, like the offers aren't there. Maybe, and like, look, we talked about the potential for Huerter and for Lyles to not be healthy and maybe teams are waiting for that. But I'd also say, like, the same could be said about Devin Carter. Like, maybe teams want to see what Devin Carter is and
sure.
where he's at and his rehab. And, you know, there's a good possibility he's going to be ready to roll, like, early January at this point.
Sure.
Where he might be back up on the main roster playing. I would assume that they're probably going to use a G League to at least get mm-hmm. him his legs stretched out and, you know, get him
I'd
some,
be shocked if they didn't.
Yeah, get him some game action for a week. But I do believe that we're going to see a point like very soon where Devin Carter is part of this mix. But that's not the solution. That's still not the problem. That I mean,
I'm at the point where I'm all overpay, dude. Like, cool, I get to keep my first round picks and keep whatever this team is. Or if I got to overpay and include a first round pick where maybe another team doesn't, then so be it.
Well, or
I'm sorry, I'm done doing the, well, you can't, like, you got to kind of sit and wait, and you got to yeah. see, and you don't have...
I think you're at a point where, you know, if you're sitting here saying, hey, we'll give you a lottery-protected first-round pick, now you might be to the point where it's like, okay, we'll give you a top 10 protected pick, or we'll give you a top 8 protected pick. Maybe you have to start changing the projections of mm-hmm. those picks, Or, hey, we talked about it earlier. If you have to close a deal, if you have to include a player like Keon Ellis, that might be where you have to like bite the bullet and say, look,
man,
we don't have the first round pick that you're looking for, but you know, if we have to, we'll include a young player that's nice and makes sense. I'm not advocating for that because I think Keon Ellis should be playing major minutes.
I agree.
But if you, the only pathway to get a 6 foot seven, 6 foot eight, 6 foot nine, 3-and-D wing is to use Keon Ellis when you know you've got Devin Carter around the corner, then maybe that's what you have to do. I don't know, yeah. But they're definitely in a situation.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll see how that plays out. It's a conversation that is not stopping anytime soon. And speaking of not stopping anytime soon, Jesse Tapia in the building, producer for D'Lo and KC. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon. What's up, man? How was your, I almost asked how your weekend was, but that was already the weekend.
Yeah, no, we're on a Tuesday, Kyle.
What are you going to do, you know?
We've been working, Kyle.
Yeah, Kyle. Some of us had a work yesterday.
Anyways,
we weren't making Lindsay Lohan movies.
Yes, exactly.
Two props. Which number will be higher? That's for Kyle and James to decide.
And Jesse.
Here's Mad Props.
Yeah, here's Mad Props. So this is going to go all the way back to Thursday.
Love it.
We're going Niners, Rams, and Kings, Pelicans.
Yeah, nice.
A good week for me, guys. I'm really fired up. Number one, we had George Kittle receptions or Keegan Murray three-point attempts. We all thought George Kittle would have more receptions than Keegan Murray would have three-point attempts. It was not. Four catches for George Kittle, 7 3-point attempts for Keegan Murray. We all took George Kittle.
Wow.
I would be interested to see how that number would have shaken out had Brock Purdy been able to throw the football in the rain.
Yeah, I was going to say, we should have anticipated for the rain in this one.
I didn't anticipate the rain.
It was in the back of my mind. I was like, he'll be fine. They'll be fine.
I mean, I don't understand.
I've got Purdy rain stuff.
That's like a high school issue, like that you can't throw in the rain at all. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Well, okay. Yeah, we'll talk Brock Purdy's issues in the inclement weather will be a discussion tomorrow on the Insiders from 10 a.m. to noon right here on ESPN 1320. Number two, Brock Purdy pass attempts or De'Aaron Fox points, rebounds, and assists. We all took Fox. De'Aaron Fox, 33 points, rebounds, and assists. Brock Purdy, 31 pass attempts.
Here we go. Yeah, it's a tie.
Well done. That's well done by us.
Kind of low, but we took care of that.
Yeah, he just got us over the hump there. 49ers total points or DeMar DeRozan total points? I was the only one who went DeMar.
Oh,
good for you.
Oh,
he needed 7.
Like I said, should have anticipated for the rain.
We got handled.
6 points?
I don't know. That was disgusting.
6. Again, I don't. That was the rock bottom of the Kyle Shanahan era, whatever the hell that was offensively. 29 points for DeMar DeRozan, 6 for the 49ers, an easy dub for me. Number 4, we had Deebo Samuel touches or Kevin Herter field goal attempts, and we all said the Niners are going to force feed Deebo. And they did. Didn't work out. If he had caught a couple more of his targets, maybe this gets a little more interesting. Alas, he did not. He had 5 touches. Kevin Herter took 10 field goal attempts. We all get the W there. Well done, guys.
There we go.
I'm proud of Kevin Herter for getting those shots up.
Shout out Kevin Herter.
Yeah, bummed that he got hurt right when he started to get rolling.
And very clear that he got hurt in that game. Like, you saw him start, like, oof, not good.
Ricky Pearsall targets or Domantas Sabonis 3-point attempts. James, you went with Domas. Jesse and I, we rocked with Ricky Pearsall. 4 targets for Ricky Pearsall.
Big day.
Yeah, it was big time. And that's what, when we talk about, like, the Niners aren't going to tank, one of the things you got to do, you got to get Ricky Pearsall involved in the offense now.
Yeah.
Just start getting him ready for next year. That's what, I expect his target rate to go up quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to need him next year. Who knows about IU?
Probably should have had a couple more catches, too, if Purdy could deliver a throw on target. Mm-hmm. But different conversation. Last one. Isaac Arendo rushing yards or King's first half total points is a close one. Jesse and I went Isaac Arendo rushing yards. James, you went King's first half total. 53 first half points for the Kings, 57 rushing yards.
There we go.
For Isaac Arendo.
There we
That's
go.
Big time.
Boo.
That finishes up.
Got you, James.
5-1 week for me, 4-2 for Jesse, a 2-4 week for James. But James, I believe, still out in front. In the win percentage.
Who knows what the season would have looked like if I was here week one.
That's what I'm saying.
People are asking.
Many are asking.
People are asking.
It's a huge topic of discussion around the country.
Exactly.
What would Mad Props have looked like if Jesse Toppy was here week one? Last night's Kings loss bothered me quite a bit. That feels like one that you got to go win.
Okay, it was kind of weird for me watching it. Like as soon as Keegan Murray was ruled out, I was like, oh, this team has no chance. They're going to lose. First quarter happens, like, oh, yeah, definitely this team has no chance. Then they come back, and I felt like they had control of the game, like, at some point in the fourth. And it's like, all right, I think they got it. No way the Nuggets come back. And it just turns out Denver was just never going to miss a shot the rest of the game.
They did not. Tough. Last 4 minutes, they went 7-7. Mm-hmm. They hit all of their free throws. They scored 21 points in 4 minutes.
I mean, I'm not.
21 points in 4 minutes. That is a 63-point quarter.
I'm not too bummed about it just because I feel like coming out of it, yeah, we learned, just reinforced, the Kings need depth. They need players.
That's
like if Keegan and Kevin, that's always going to hurt you, but the fact that you have nothing else after that, that's not going to work. That's not sustainable. The starting five can't go 40-plus every night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where they're at. I mean, I thought you had Keon Ellis play like 33 minutes last night. Super effective, but... Mm-hmm. You've got to have some sort of wing depth.
Yeah,
like,
dude. And if your front office isn't sitting there, and we just talked about urgency before Mad Props, but if your front office isn't looking at your starting five and going, if we had like two additional rotation pieces, this is a really hard team to beat.
They're not even far off, the Kings. That's not far off.
It's not like, man, you know what? Yeah, they need that wing depth, but hey, this starting lineup isn't working. They need this and that. Like, no, you have your starting five. That's your starting five. Yep. That's your closing five.
Literally just asking for some consistent players off the bench.
That's it.
Yeah.
I need 18 minutes worth of players.
I think you guys were talking about it earlier before I came on, like Monty McNair, like not having a ton of second round picks and just assets not being the most. Like, that's on him too. You better figure it out.
That's it.
Like, it's up to you to make the deals, and it's up to you to accumulate the assets so we can make the deals.
Yeah.
Like, if you can't, all right, then I don't know. You're not the guy.
That's where I'm looking at this and like, hey, can you go for broke? Can you get Dorian Finney-Smith and Cam Johnson? And that sounds like, oh my gosh. But if I'm giving up a first-round pick that's protected versus, hey, okay, I'll give you a first-round pick unprotected. That's it. Like, that's where I'm at. Like, if you're pushing all in... And you can make the salaries work. It's not easy, but you can, you know, it's going to be like a 4-for-2.
Mm-hmm.
You can figure out a way to make the salaries work, but I don't know how else, like, I don't know that one player changes everything. And because to get that one player, you're going to lose Kevin Huerter to change it. And so you're still going to be chasing a little bit.
They need multiple guys. Like, it's not just we got Cam Johnson, we're good now. Like, you probably need another guy.
I think Cam Johnson would help a lot, though.
Yeah, he would.
And that's where it's like, you talk about all in, like, all right, now's the time, dudes.
Yeah, the next discussion is...
What are we waiting for?
If you got Cam Johnson, does that mean that you start Cam Johnson, push DeMar DeRozan to the two, and bring Malik Monk back off the bench, and you go there? Does that mean that you go DeMar DeRozan off the bench? Does it mean that Cam Johnson comes off the bench? Like it opens
right now,
up
I'm not
anything.
Messing with the starting five.
Yeah, me neither.
Yep.
What do you guys got coming up?
Trista Crick will be on, Jason Jones, and just a lot of Kings talk after that game yesterday.
Can't wait. Should be a fun Tuesday on D'Lo and Casey. That's Jesse Tapia. He produces that program. Jesse, thanks for hopping in. James, we will continue this trade discussion stuff tomorrow. It's not going anywhere.
Jiffy Lube.
Oh, our Jiffy Lube, thank you, teamwork player of the game, Wing.
Wing, W-I-N-G.
At ESPN1320.com, go to the Jiffy Lube contest page.
Right now.
And go to Jiffy Lube right now. Get your wipers checked, get your headlights replaced, get your brake lights replaced.
That's right.
Get that oil changed, $33 off coupon now at JiffyLube.com. You can also find the location nearest you at JiffyLube.com. Again, the keyword is Wing at ESPN1320.com because boy do the Kings need one. That conversation will continue tomorrow here on the Insiders at 10 a.m. sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Until then, drink water, be nice, people. Bye!